Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 25th on the West Coast, now May the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and we know you're going to find tonight's show to be very interesting. Well, what is going on in the world? We've got more bad guys out there, according to the CIA. So everybody's worried about who the next terrorist is going to be, and they're ramping this up. They're actually using the word terror in food commercials now. So it doesn't surprise me, though, with what they put in most of the store-bought food. Processed food. So we know who some of the terrorists are in that regard. Then Congress passed the Patriot Act until the year 2015. Like that did anything to stop Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein, etc. Of course, we had false flag events in the United States, and we had some that were thwarted. And everyone is wondering, well, where do we turn for the next bit of information? Another alias of the usurper in the Oval Office came out. Actually, that alias was exposed 2 years ago. We have short memories. But nonetheless, everyone is wondering, where do they go to find the truth? And I could sum it all up on Wellness Wednesday, before we bring our guest on, by saying that maybe we should just use a little of Steely Dan's pretzel logic.
man gave me the news. He said, you must be joking, son. Where did you get those shoes?
Well, Steely Dan and Pretzel Logic. I guess there's nothing like a little bit of Pretzel Logic on Wellness Wednesday. Now it's time for us to bring on tonight's guest. He is the reason why we call Wednesday on Evident Footprints Wellness Wednesday. He is probably the world's foremost nutritionalist coach. In that regard, to tell you how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, and what to do if you're looking to lose weight, looking for more energy, if you want to live a long time, you want to be happy, you want to be productive, creative, all of those things. Now, conformity in this sense may be to your advantage, but the reason I played Pretzel Logic was just to point out a little bit of the conformity and the nonsensical situations that we put ourselves in when we do things that other people do, and we never question why we are doing it, other than to copy what they're doing and to be accepted. With that, I bring on tonight's guest, Dr. Wayne Pickering. Dr. Pickering, how are you?
Thank you. Oh, very good. Hey, listen, that was very well said, Don, what you just said about conformity. Very well said. And most people do that. I think you and I have discussed that at the time, but it's a good fit here. The two C's, I think, that contribute to the bulk of our problems in our country, really, are conformity. People go along to just be like their buddies, and they drink this, and they have that clothes, because that's the deal. And consumption is the other one. And mm-hmm. You did mention something about processed food tonight. And when you and I come back and do the nutrition portion of our series, boy, are people going to be enlightened about processed foods and stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Could we add a third C and say one of our country's problems is a certificate of live birth?
Good one.
Anyway,
but you know, yeah, actually, I think we could eradicate those problems if we use this principle, and it begins with C. Control your choices, because we've got choices, and regardless of how corrupt everything is, we still have that choice. We can choose.
Yes.
And one of the things that I like my clients to be aware of, Don, is regardless of how things are coming down, and God bless you, I'm so pleased that you're able to be on the show tonight with this inclement weather that you're having up there. And so all of these things, weather-wise, government-wise, just global-wise, things are happening. And your best guarantee, your best saving grace, be healthy. Person must be healthy, got to be healthy. If you're broke and you're healthy, great. If you're rich and you're sick, what good is it?
Yeah.
And don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, when you and I started doing this attitude portion of the How to Get Well and Stay Well for Life series, man, how about if I just encourage people to go back and listen to last week's show, because I think the most important component thus far about, especially the attitude portion of it, is it's that first 5 minutes after we get a prognosis determines the efficacy of that disease recovery process. We must rebuke those, you got 30 days to live. No, I don't want to hear that garbage. No, forget about it. That's not remote. You better have some wings on your back when you come down to tell me stuff like that. And what we think about expands. So how about if we tonight, let's give the people a few tools here to show them how to get their thoughts together. And I'd like if we can do that. Would that be okay?
Yes. I'm kind of laughing inside because I chose to play Pretzel Logic.
and I'm going to say something, too, about the music you play. I do so many of these shows, man, and it's always canned music. Yours is very well thought out. It's cohesive with your thoughts to bring the show on the air. It's also cohesive with the theme. Very well thought out. And that one there, I was sitting back, you know, I had the mute on, of course, because I was singing. you don't want to hear me singing. So let's get some tools here. There's in one of our websites, Romance of Finance. That's our finance site, Romance of Finance. There's a little book in there. It's called As a Man Thinketh, by James Allen. And I have some things that were in that book that I think is going to be a good fit for us tonight. So if you'll indulge me while I read a couple excerpts.
Sure, go ahead.
This little book has helped me so much, Don. And I know it'll help the listener as well. In chapter 3, it talks, the title of the chapter is, and I'm going to read you three little short paragraphs. The Effects of Thoughts on the Health and the Body. It starts, the body is the servant of the mind. It obeys the operations of the mind, whether they be deliberately chosen or automatically expressed. At the bidding of unlawful thoughts, the body sinks rapidly into decay and disease. And at the command of glad and beautiful thoughts, it becomes clothed with youthfulness and beauty. Disease and health, like circumstances, are rooted in thought. Sickly thoughts will express themselves through a sickly body. Thoughts of fear have been known to kill a man as speedily as a bullet, and they are continually killing thousands and thousands of people just as surely, though less rapidly. And last paragraph, it says, the people who live in fear of disease are the people who always get it. Anxiety quickly demoralizes the whole body and lays it open to the entrance of disease, while impure thoughts, even if not physically indulged, will sooner shatter the nervous system. So it's crucial, everybody, that we get our thoughts together. What we think about and think about, we bring about. Now, I don't know if you have any comments on that, but I've got a couple other things I'd like to share with you, but...
Well, I know you're going to go into quite a bit of detail. I had one thought, and that was that much of our thinking is directed by what we hear, and how many of us really pay attention to what we're hearing?
Good point.
You know, on the deepest level, to understand if what's being said is true. And we could use pharmaceutical ads as a perfect example of that. And I just wanted to make that point, that often our thoughts are influenced by what others are telling us to think.
Well, that's very true. Well, let me share this with you. I think I made mention of this, and you brought that up. That's a very good point, that there are five things that govern our thoughts. And the first of those five is actually supersedes the other four, the company we keep. That seems to be the most important of the five, the company we keep. If somebody comes from New York and they go down to South Carolina, and they stay a year, and they go back up New Jersey, New York, wherever they're going. Their friends, man, you talk different. You dress different. Look at you. I mean, you eat like that now? We pick up habits. We pick up styles. We pick up accents. We're only as good as the company we keep. Hang around with health-conscious people and watch what happens. Here's the second thing that governs our thoughts, and you said it very well. What we listen to. Number three, what we read and watch. Number four, the words we speak. Those influence your thoughts so much. And when you say, I want this, I want that, well, your mind registers that, and that creates that constant want, want, want. No, I now give thanks for. Boom. That's the best vernacular there. So the words we speak, and number five, what we consume. Crucial. Now, there's a huge difference in the will to win and the will not to lose. Same, same. The will to be healthy and the will not to be sick. You want the will to be healthy. Get away from that vernacular, not to be sick. Here's a great story about a coach. He won 16 straight games. And they needed that 17th game. They needed that 17th win so bad, man. And his team was just so into wanting that so much. But they lost. And why did they lose? They kept on thinking of not losing instead of winning. So we need to be thinking of wellness, not sickness. We need to be thinking, I am well, I am grateful to be well. I am grateful I can walk. I am grateful I can think. I can smell. All these things. I've encouraged everybody in many of my interviews and even my radio station to write down three things every morning when you wake up and you land on your knees in the morning. Have a little pen and paper beside you and write down three things that you're grateful for that you weren't grateful for before. If you just took your body, you could name off at least 500 things about your body. My fingernails. Look at my fingernails. Nothing exceeds my hand in dexterity. Nothing. I can move my fingers. Those are three things that you're grateful for right there. And if you keep showing the attitude of gratitude kind of thing, what we think about and think about, we bring about. So, smelling rocks don't do you a bit of good until you believe they do. So here's a good line for you to be writing down, everybody. It's your decisions that determine your destiny. So I think that if you will start picking up a few tools that's going to help you keep your thoughts together, that's great. But most importantly, hang around when it comes to your health. Health-conscious people, that's crucial. Now, I know, Don, that you and I were discussing here a few times, you know, about mental imagery and stuff, and how important is that? I know that you probably have some comments on that. Mental imagery.
Well, usually, depending on what it is, if it's to accomplish a goal, and usually that's what it is, you'll pay attention, first of all, to the words that you use, which are going to formulate the power in the thought. And then, and it occurred to me while you were speaking just now, that what you're describing dispels fear. You will have so much confidence of achieving your goal, whatever that may be, mm-hmm. that fear has no reality in your thinking.
Don't you like the acronym FEAR, false evidence appearing real?
Mm. Yeah.
And it's so true. So we need to use mental imagery, everybody, and let's see how effective that is. We've got to use mental imagery for our health. I just came back from Jacksonville, Florida. It was Jack's Beach. I had not been on Jack's Beach, Jacksonville Beach, before. I've been, you know, I've ridden my car down A1A, the ocean road there, and saw Jacksonville. I was never on the beach. They had this 2.5-day event this week, this past weekend. And I went up there with it. There were 22 teams, 22 six-man teams, and you would be amazed at what they did. There were, I think, 6 or 8 Navy SEAL teams of 6 men per each team. They had about 8 or 10 lifeguard six-man teams. They had several private teams come in. Now we've got one of them. We call them the older and active group. One guy in there is 55. Looks fantastic and is in incredible shape. And I'm asking most of them, even when I interviewed all of those Olympic athletes for the National Speakers Association one year when I, hosted the Voices of Experience section there for a long time, for a whole year. Actually, we did it for 2 years. I was the guest first year. The second year, I wanted to be the interviewer. So I got to interview all of those Olympic athletes. And they all said this when I asked them, what makes you the best? Come on, talk to me a little bit. What makes you the best? You cross that finish line, not 2 minutes, 1/10 of a second. What makes you the best? And they all said this, Don. It's 90% mental and 10% physical. I loved it. We've got to use mental imagery. Now, going back to the Jacks Beach, here are these 22 teams, six-man teams. They had to do a 100-yard crawl under 2 feet of rope. Then they swam a half a mile not using their hands, okay? They came back in, did 1,000 push-ups, 1,000 sit-ups, 500 pull-ups, and finishing off with the 100-yard crawl. Now, if you don't think these guys, and I took 300 pictures, and I was looking at them this evening because I had to put them on my Facebook account so they could all download them. You should have seen the dedication and the I know so many of them, and they all talk to me about mental imagery and how they use it constantly. So it's synonymous. And my team won, by the way. Mm. I was so excited for these young guys, man. They were awesome.
What name did they give that event, Dr. Wayne?
Oh, it was the Battle of the Beaches. Oh. Well, the whole 2.5-day event, brother, was another name. But the section, they had 1,000 or so surfboards out there that they were going to do a big paddle thing, and then they had big races on the beach. Then they had, I mean, it was everything. And if I said 100,000 people on that beach and on the banks and everything, and I would probably be shorting it. It was enormous. And my team that I rode up there with, we won. And two of those guys that I coach along with their nutrition and I even put a little formula together for their workout because they were trying to do the same thing every day. No. Break this thing up. Don, when you and I come back and do the exercise portion of this series, we're really going to get into that as well. But mental imagery, got to use it. And for goodness sakes, as I say, and please don't let me rub this to the ground, associate with healthy people. And when I speak to large groups, those who know me in my own town don't know really what I do here, by the way. They just see this guy running on the beach or stretching or riding his bike or going to the post office to drop off orders and whatever. But when the locals go to my website and watch my videos and listen to our audio recordings, they always ask me if I ever get nervous. And I always tell them, I'm always on the edge before I do shows. But then I always put in my mind some of those great successes that I had. And when I went out and spoke to 5,000 people one year, it was my largest audience, and at that time, I've addressed a few since, but the first time, Don, I was nervous, man. But when I walked out on that stage, just before I did, I remembered of a huge success I had at the National Speakers Association, and I brought that back in, and I walked out there just like it. I was there. So we've got to use mental imagery. And I'm so much more at ease when I do that. Now, if I reflected on times that I bombed, and we all bomb, at some of our projects we do, whether it be painting a house, writing an article, playing a sport, or speaking from the platform, it's all a huge part of the game of life. I've done tons and tons of radio, and oh, I can't begin to tell you how many TV shows we've done. And so help me, not every one of them was a lark, but over 90% of them have been winners. So here's what we need to do, everybody. Start reflecting on your wellness times and get your mind back into that mode and watch the dramatic difference you'll experience with your recovery process. And I like what Dr. Gerald Epstein, pioneer in healing through mental imagery, says, be changed, and the world around you begins to change. By the way, we need to do a show just on this. I did the IRS's National Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, a couple of years ago, and it was intimidating, to say the least. Here are these guys. They were all of the managers of the auditors of the Fortune 500 companies in this country. And I had 360 of them, the highest end in the IRS. And one of them got a hold of me after, when I was in the hotel. And he said, you're pretty funny up there, young man. He said, I enjoyed it. Look at all these emails you got here, man. You're a popular young man. I was getting thousands of them. I was on a spam thing or something, Don. So, you know what it's like. So
yeah.
He asked if we could go over and sit down in the lobby and talk. I said, I'd be glad to. Well, I was amazed at the stuff that man told me. And we're going to do a couple of things on that on our Living Abundantly series. I'm going to bring that out when you and I come back and do that series. But here's the point. When I speak to these prestigious groups, and so help me, you get out there, when you walk out on that stage, you must have good mental imagery. So the whole point with your health, think about when you were the healthiest and work towards that. And also, I'm always amused at how many people will come up to me and say, I used to be in shape. And the thought goes through my mind, used to be's don't fly anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the key word there was used to. So I guess it all boils down to how much you really want your health. And so there's an effort to put into your health, but so is a heap of effort that's put into being sick. Forget about that. I don't want sickness. And so here's the bottom line. People only want what they want when the want is more than the effort. Mental imagery is one of my favorite tools to use when I want something bad enough. So use mental imagery, everybody, when it comes to your health. You have any comments on that?
Well, it's true. They use pictures to influence us in our thinking, and most people don't realize that they're responding or reacting to the pictures. Pictures have a certain kind of meaning, and then they compare that to themselves. A lot of people, I think, are in a state of, let's say, low self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
which is one reason why a lot of people get sick.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're concerned about what others think about them and how they see themselves and what others say. Again, it's just underscoring everything you already said.
You know, Don, I'm going to address that just a little bit. I'm glad you brought that point up, buddy. The people worrying about what people think about it. Listen, there's only two reasons, everybody, why people talk about you. Just two. That's it. If they like you or if they don't like you. That's it. Now, if they like you, all well and good. But there's only two reasons why people don't like you. They don't know you, or they're jealous as the dickens of you. They want to be just like you. And they will always talk about you that way. That's just the deal. So whatever people think of you is none of your business. And it's always the smallest dogs that make the most noise. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You've been in this business long enough to where I know that you've gotten criticized and all that, but you never get tackled unless you're running with the ball. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, you never catch flack unless you're over the target.
That's true. Now, here's a good thing. You mentioned this word a little while ago about reacting and responding. Mm-hmm. First of all, when we hear a doctor saying, oh, you're reacting to that drug, oh, my gosh, really? Oh, but, oh, you're responding to that drug, oh, really? Responding is positive. Reacting is negative. So if we get the responding down, and there's so many things, like in my life, gosh, I've had so many life-threatening issues in my life. I've been wounded in Vietnam. I've been fallen out of an oil rig in West Texas. I fell 3.5 floors off of a big construction job I was doing down in South, well, it was actually in the Ponce Inlet, Daytona Beach Shores, way, way down at the other end of the island. When I first came back from the war and didn't know what I was going to do, you know, we all work for money. You don't work for money. You work for your passion, not your payday. So here are some of these life-threatening things that happened. And actually, sickness, everybody, is a great blessing. You've got to view it as that because the body is not stupid. The body just doesn't catch this or catch that. It earns it when you are neglectful of your body, eating processed, canned, boxed, lousy foods, greasy foods, and all of that stuff. When you come back and hear the nutrition portion of what Don and I are going to bring together here, well, you're just going to be on the edge of your seat. You will not believe it. But I can remember when I used to be so sick, and when I was 9 years old, I was flat on my back for 8 months with rheumatic fever, had to learn to walk all over again. I had it again in West Texas, twice in West Texas. I had rheumatoid arthritis in my left, all of my upper left back and shoulder. I had to quit a couple jobs. I had gout so bad. I had acid reflux and acid indigestion and heartburn so bad that I thought I was going to cry all the time. That hurt me so bad, and it was choking me at the thing. But when I rose above it, I learned this great lesson some time ago, and I coined this line once. Things just don't happen. They happen justly. I was a lifeguard for 4 years, and I was a lifeguard on some of the biggest, most prestigious hotels on the whole island where we live, and there's some big ones. And we used to have to pour muriatic acid all over the filters that would filter the pools, you see. So I went down there, and all the kids, Don, are always looking to lock, or they want to throw the lifeguard in the pool, or they want to lock him in the pump room, or they want to do something to aggravate the lifeguard. It's just the deal. So I was down there this day in the pump room, and I was pouring muriatic acid over it, and it splashed back in my face. Now, the kids saw me down there, and they locked me in the pump room. So here I had all this acid in my face. Oh, it was just murder on my eye. So I was splashing water in my face, and then the eye started itching real bad. The next day I could not see out of that eye. And after a week goes by, I couldn't see anything out of that right eye whatsoever, no light, nothing, but I only had 60% vision in the left eye, and they told me I was going to be blind for the rest of my life. No recovery. So they said they were going to put some drops of cortisone in there at $50 a drop, and of course, you know, that was 35 years ago, and $50 a drop was no slouch. And they said I had to go through one in the morning, one at night for 3 days, and here's what didn't sell me. If this doesn't work, wait a minute, $50 a drop, six drops, a drop in the morning, a drop at night, that's $300. No, I don't know if I want to do that. So something in the back of me, and listen to your gut, everybody. That's your deal. Listen to your gut. So my gut says, I don't know about that. So I didn't do it. And 3 weeks go by, I was destitute because the eye was itching me so bad. So I went down to the health food store after trying just about everything I knew I could do, and I said, Dee, do you know of a naturopathic physician? She said, yes. She said, there's one in here right now. And he's going up to Hoisington, Kansas, where he was from. He became my best friend, by the way, of all time, Dr. George W. Foster from Hoisington, Kansas. He was 88. No, he was 82 when I met him, but he was 88 when he went back up there. Here's the point. He got. She took me back there and introduced me to him, and you know I can still hear him do this, Don. Land sakes, my child. He said, what did you do to yourself? Oh, I said, Dr. Foster, and I just hugged him. I was so glad to see him. And he says, oh, I can help you. So I said, okay, get in my car, and I'll drive you down, because he wasn't driving. He just walked down from his little motorhome from a couple blocks. No, he said, and I could just read his mind. He didn't want to get in that car with me that I couldn't see. So he gave me some witch hazel for the eye, and I'm going somewhere very important with this, but things just don't happen. They happen justly, Don. These were life-threatening situations in my life. So about 2 weeks go by. It was okay. I still couldn't see. The itching was still bothering me, but the excruciating pain had subsided a lot. So this one day, I was laying in bed. I says, Lord, I've always known this. Things just don't happen. They happen justly. If you bring me to it, you'll bring me through it. Keep me strong enough, long enough to see through this. What do I need to do? You tell me. I'll do it. And all of a sudden, something came into my mind. Lemon. I said, in my eye? No, no, no. And I said it again. Lemon. So I called Dr. Foster. And I said, Dr. Foster, would lemon... He goes, oh, he said, boy, that was smart. I said, yes, but this is terrible. I don't care if it'll help. He said, if you do it... Dilute it 10 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, Don, my mathematical genius kicks in. Well, if 10 to 1 is good, straight ought to be 10 times better. So I went in the...
I was wondering if, about the prior treatment, if that was straight, the witch hazel.
But well, I can't tell you, actually, right now when I think about it. But yeah. Here's the deal, man. I went in the kitchen... fumbled around a bit, got a lemon, and I peeled it, and I put it in some cheesecloth, and I wrapped it up, and I went back in there in the bedroom, and I laid down on the bed, and I prayed. I said, Lord, catch me when I come through the ceiling, because I'm coming home. So I took my eye with my left hand and put that lemon over the right, and I squeezed real hard. Ah! Oh, that hurt me so bad. I passed out. Actually, it hurt so bad. I woke up about 5 or 6 hours later. I desperately needed to sleep because I couldn't sleep all these 3 weeks. I was going to sleep for an hour, waking up because I had to scratch my eye with my finger. Not the fingernail, but the side mm-hmm. of my finger. So I said, gosh, the itching has stopped. Praise God, I said. So I said, I'm going to do it again. I go back out there and get another lemon. And I do it. Oh, the pain was amazing. But I passed out again. Woke up. I did that for 3 days. The fourth day, I wake up and I walk out and I said, oh, well, I think I'm going to eat a Crenshaw melody. Oh, I can see. Praise God, I can see. I said, this is great. Now, what had happened was, here's the whole thing about this story. Acids and alkaline neutralize each other. Even though lemon has strong citric acid, it has a strong alkaline yield once it gets to the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
Muriatic acid is one of the strongest acids, and it yields an acid. So I knew. Now, that validated my food combining in my Mango Man diet that everybody gets when they go to mangomandiet.com. What you do, the acids and alkalines neutralize each other when you're eating proteins and starches. Not a good habit. spaghetti and meatballs, macaroni and cheese, and all those things, hamburger on the bun, hot dog on the bun. That's all American. When we come back and do the nutrition portion on our next component of this series, you're going to learn all of that. I had cancer on my lip. They cut some of my lip out. Little did I know, if I had have addressed it properly, I'd have got rid of it. I have been so stressed, so sick, gout. Give me heart disease, don't give me gout. Gout was a beast. And the whole point of all of this, a great buddy of mine, Willie Jolly, wrote a book, and it's an appropriate title to move on with our thoughts. A setback is always a set up to come back. A setback is a set up to come back. So do you have any comments so far, Don?
I was just wondering if that inner voice didn't tell you to use the lemon juice so you would go to sleep and quit scratching your eye.
But that could have been true, too. Something. But I'll tell you, Don, that was a real challenge, man.
Oh, I'm telling you. It would hurt without your eyes being injured at all.
So. But let me tell you. So we've got to touch base, I think, a little bit now on stress management. How about if we do that?
Sure, sure. And in fact, I used the intro I did because the stress is out there. You can see it watching how everybody's reacting to a lot of nonsensical stories, really, that are not founded in truth whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's searching for someone to tell them what to think. Or what to believe, and I hate that word, believe.
Yeah. Well, I think that them tuning into your shows, man, that's evidence enough right there, and no pun intended when I say evidence, because that's one of the nice things about the title of your show, Evident Footprints. And it's evident that we need to get the thinking now, and these shows, it's evident, or obvious, I should say, that if you're tuning into these shows, you're looking for answers. That's why Don and I, when we decided to do this series together, that was the main, focus on that. And when he and I come back and do our Beat Your Stress series, don't miss that. You're going to have ammunition to totally wipe stress out of your life once and for all. Now, adverse thinking probably affects a person's health and shortens life more than any other fact. Look, fear is crippling everybody. Worrying is not going to get it done. I have people, clients of mine, that worry just to be worrying. Now, come on. Mm-hmm. Life is too short, man. Dying is too long.
Did you hear the prediction that the world was going to end either on the 21st or the 22nd of May this year?
Yes.
And, of course, it didn't happen, so I had to come back and continue my show. I thought I was finished.
Good
so, but that has so many people's attention, these ridiculous stories.
And this preacher spends gobs of money. I mean, come on. I mean, advertising that thing. Good Lord. Get a grip, everybody. That's just not going to happen. That Y2K thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord, man. You know what I did, Don, on that Y2K? I have the lifeguard station here at the end of my street, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's three levels up. So I went up to the top thing about maybe quarter to midnight that night because they were shooting firecrackers off and everything. And I'm saying, you know, man, I'm just wondering when these lights are going to go out. And 5 minutes to the hour, I'm looking. Here I am, past president of the National Speakers Association, hiring these speakers who came to the Florida chapter and everything that I felt responsible for. And I'm embarrassed that I ever did that. But we had... God forbid I'd never mention their names. I don't want to totally discredit them. But they came to our function. We hired them to come down, and they spoke about Y2K. And, you know, they put the fear of God in you, man. I mean, come on. So, man, it was 5 minutes to midnight, and I'm waiting for the lights to start going off. And midnight shows up, and still everything's cooking, and everything's partying, and the stereo is on, and everybody's shooting firecrackers. And 5 minutes after... lights are still on. everything's still going. 12:30, I'm looking, well, maybe it's 1 o'clock. So 1 o'clock, I'm still up there waiting. 2 o'clock in the morning, I said, man, I'm going to go home and go to bed. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So we're listening to too much garbage, everybody. Our thinking affects the chemistry of your blood for the good or for the bad. And the mind and the body are one and the same, and both must have good health for us to feel whole and alive, normalized. If we're not happy, all the exercise and good eating habits in the world will not make us healthy. That's the deal. Here's the law of nature. That which is not used is lost. The mind, like any other part of the body, it has to be challenged. It has to be activated. It's got to be employed if it is to stay healthy all of our lives. Read. Figure things out. Do that. Man, when you do that, you'll ward off a great potential of Alzheimer's over and above all the other things we're going to bring to the table in the nutrition portion of our series. But I think the most important thing is to keep your mind always working. We need to make new connections in our brain instead of doing the same old things over and over again. The brain is like a muscle. If you don't exercise, it wastes away. And we know that the longest lived professionals are the philosophers, the mathematicians, the teachers, people who keep their mental power sharpened and in use. Look at how young you get. When I saw that picture of you, Don, I'm thinking, man, there's a good looking young man. Golly bum, look at him. And you keep your mind going. And you take and you compare all of the athletes and sportsmen and like the football, they die young. You keep your mind active. A great physician who I have an incredible respect for, Dr. Herbert M. Shelton, he stated, I'm going to read you a little statement by him. He said, no gymnastics, no art, no cosmetic contributes so much to the dignity, strength, and enriching a person's face and appearance as a great purpose in life, a high determination, a noble principle, and an unquenchable enthusiasm for learning, knowledge, and mental challenges. So, everybody, when it comes to regaining your health, thank the universe for your own healing. Laughter and be happy. That'll keep you healthy. Your immune system, by the way, the first 15 minutes and the last 15 minutes of the day is when your mind is in the most alpha state, most receptive to good new ideas. And when you watch negative news and violent crimes, your immune system goes down. It's a fact. And when you watch humor and comedy and uplifting things and some good National Geographic travel thing, I mean, and keep your mind up, your immune system goes up. And part of our bodies are replaced every second, every day, every week, and within a few years, you got a brand new body. Stress degrades this body. You remove stress from your body, and the body regenerates itself. You can heal yourself. And curing is something mankind tries to do. Healing is something our bodies do when we just give it a chance. And you start putting these components in place that you're learning with this whole series, watch what's going to happen for the better. Because I know a lot of sick people, and I've known a lot of sick people who have gotten well just because they're adding good stress management to their life. Because most disease really is a result of us with stress. And I urge you to come back and hear Don and I do the series on stress, and I know he has a lot of knowledge on that, and he'll bring a lot of his expertise in stress management to the table. I mean, how much more stressed can you be than when you're in the middle of these huge tornadoes that he's experiencing up there? Amazing. So keep the stress down, and when he and I come back and do that series, you'll be greatly blessed. Anything you'd like to add to that, Don?
Well, there's quite a bit. I wanted to ask you, with the people that you coach, and you reach, obviously, in the beginning when you're advising or consulting with a client, or it could be a group, at a speaking engagement, do you find that the first segment of your talk, you're met with a lot of denial? It may not be that they're saying anything, but you can read their faces or read their body language.
Boy, can you ever.
Yeah.
And I've learned this. It's that first 3 to 5 minutes. I tell these guys who I'm coaching as speakers, listen, if you can't say something in 3 minutes that will wow the audience, you don't deserve an hour. So do everything you can in little short vignettes and something that opens that up. You got to come out shooting. When I walk out there, it takes me about 2 to 5 minutes because I have little techniques, by the way. I have, for example, I have 4 questions that I ask 5 different people that I ask the meeting planner for their name and phone number, and those 5 people ultimately become my anchors in the audience. And when I'm out there and I can look at them real quick, and then I'll look at the person next to them, and I'll walk around and do all that kind of stuff, pretty soon I've got them all in the fold. But it's very true what you say. Oh, okay, now they said this guy's going to be funny. Let me hear him. And you can see their arms cross. Or he's supposed to be healthy. Well, I don't know if I want to. But I've got techniques to bring them around. And it's very true. Denial would be a very good choice of words.
And now, you know, you mentioned fear and this, well, or I mentioned fear, but the stress that it brings about. Now, when you get down to it, as we described, false evidence appearing real, you're talking about an illusion. Mm-hmm. You see, so there's the issue of the individual accepting the fact or the possibility, at least willing to examine that he or she may have been influenced by something that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got to be able to sort that out. They've got to be willing to look at other things, not to be proven wrong or to be proven ignorant so much, even though, you know, we could say that. But the point is for the individual to leapfrog over or just plow right through an illusion, they've got to really understand what their foundational, I hate this word, beliefs, mm-hmm. Represent. You know, because, again, they're conforming to what other people say and how other people think and how people talk about them. And so all those different aspects of wanting to get along come into play. People will actually sabotage their own health or their own thoughts or their own goals by listening to what other people tell them to do.
Oh, yeah. Do you know the older I get, Don, the less I care about all that stuff. I was up there in Jacksonville, and the team that thought they were the cat's meow, so to speak, lost. And they had so much ego. And I told my team, I was always cheering this team on and pointing out all the little great things they had going for them and all that stuff, you know. And I got little techniques I use to really make them feel their self-worth and not, you know, this ego. Ego, edging God out. Too much ego. I could care less what that person next to me is thinking. If I like something and it makes my approval, I'm going to acknowledge it. And you get to a point after you're 60, 65. I'll be 64 in June 13th for those cards and letters, everybody. But the older I get, the less I care about that stuff. And I don't go to parties. I don't go to bars. I don't go to that stuff and all that small-time stuff and who's wearing this and who's saying this. And, you know, I'm way beyond that. I mean, I used to do that because I didn't have any confidence. Good point. I think that's because people do not have confidence. Number mm-hmm. one, people don't know who they are, what they're going to do in life. They don't have a sense of purpose. They go to work because everybody goes to work. No. You must work for your passion, not your payday, and your vocation needs to be your vacation. Everything that I do, and I'm very busy, as you know, you and I have talked many private conversations, and you know that I am swamped. Gosh, we got 26 websites. I've produced 9 books. I've produced 87. It's about 80. Yeah, I think it's 87 pieces of work. Gosh, we've written hundreds of articles and over 550 recipes we've produced. That took us 12 years just to produce the CD-ROM that comes with Mango Man Diet. And you got it all down there. Here's all your Januaries, your Februaries, your Marches, your Aprils, your May recipes. You know exactly what to do. We wanted to do this because nobody else has done this for people. It's always, here, take this for this or take this for that. No. We're all about lifestyle. We're all about positive thinking. And when we come back next week, we're going to talk about the grass is greener. And this is the other side, right here. Granted, you and I both know, Don, there are some horrific things going on that we don't approve of. And it seems to be getting even more topsy-turvy as time goes. But mm-hmm. The nice thing about it, we have choices, and these radio shows that people can tune into, you've got a way out. Let me share this with you. There was a lady who called me here the day before yesterday, after we did our Mango Man Monday show. She was from England. And she left the country. Talk about the height of negativity. Bless her heart, she was negative. Had acid indigestion so bad. The whole point is this. She just would not stop the negative stuff. So I told her, I said, listen, why don't you take and give the people a solution instead of just talking about the problem all the time? Give the people a solution and bring the problem up to justify the solution.
Sure.
Instead of just, you know what I mean, Don?
Yeah.
And this is what you're doing with your show. This is exactly what you're doing.
It's what I do with my research. It's what I do with my show. And it's what my guests do on the show
there
as well.
There you go.
That's
there
why
you go.
I turn on.
Yeah. So the whole point is with this, we're giving you, everybody, the way out. Your main priority in your life, it's the most important, really. Not your spirituality, not your job, not your marriage. No, your health. You must be healthy. And without it, you're toast. So you're special. You deserve to be healthy. And the nice thing about it is, as we close tonight's show, we're already healthy. Automatically by design and sick only by default. Keep your thoughts together. When we come back next week, I'm going to give you something to really keep you jacked up about where you are and what you're doing. And thanks, Don. It's been a pleasure.
Well, it's also been a pleasure for me, and I'm sure the listening audience. Take heed, folks, and get your pad and a pencil or a pen out and write down 3 things you're thankful for.
And right on.
Make that a habit. At least be thankful for Wellness Wednesdays on Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Matt.
Dr. Wayne, I wish you a very good evening and a good rest of the week. And stay away from all those push-ups, though.
Listen, stay dry and well up there. I pray for you, yeah. Don. I really do, because I know that you're in an area to where you're having extreme inclement weather.
Well, it's all over the country. We all need to get into prayer a little bit and
yes.
Pray for the whole country.
Yes. What is it? Prayer is asking for it. Meditation is, I forgot what that is. It'll come to me here next week. Okay, Don, all the best. But thank
all
you
right.
very much.
Same to you. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. Wayne Pickering, the Mango Man. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at bbsradio.com. Tonight we had Seth Hendrick on the sound, and you may be noticing the sound has gotten very clear over the past week or so as we were upgrading the system there, and hopefully that will continue to be the case. And it's all for your listening enjoyment. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night when I will have two guests, Mr. Ken Adachi and Zura Nova Star Livingstone. We've got some interesting topics to discuss. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.